tortured state-sponsored lethal executions. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host D-May Roberts celebrates theater sound design with veteran Portland sound designer Jen Rainick. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews Portland abstract painter Judy Cook about Portland in the 1960s and 1970s, design and architecture, and her method idea of solving a painting like a problem. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
Attention KABU members and listeners. The KABU Foundation is seeking to fill four upcoming vacancies on the board of directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KABU website and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kabucommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KABU bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KABU's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kabucommunity@gmail.com.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 30th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Robert Naiman at Just Foreign Policy. This is a website that I go to all the time. When I am looking at a story from a foreign coming out of a foreign country, this is a source of analysis and insight and way of understanding the deep structure of many of the events that take place offshore and beyond our U.S. borders. So, of course, the dominant story this week and continuing for the next few days is of the Greek financial crisis, which was, of course, imposed by the hardline austerity demands and dangerous brinkmanship of its official creditors, is, of course, all goes back to, the saying, follow the money. Well, there's a tremendous amount of money here to follow, and it's not difficult to trace it straight back to the International Monetary Fund. What few people understand is the IMF is a U.S. taxpayer-financed institution. President Obama, the Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman, and Joseph Stiglitz have criticized the IMF policies, which have led to the crisis. So we're going to be looking into that. This was a wholly avoidable situation. Austerity measures never help under these circumstances. Never. Historically, look back on it. You'll not find an instance where austerity has done anything but crush the remains of struggling economies. That said, we'll be speaking in just a moment with Robert Naiman. First, just a few headlines from around the region. Hundreds of thousands of juvenile spring Chinook salmon died on Monday at an Umpqua River fish hatchery after a clogged intake pipe blocked their access to water. A fish carcass, in fact, caused the clog at the Rock Creek hatchery. And according to a release from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, it didn't limit the flow enough to trigger an alarm. And of course, the fish are plenty alarmed. It's just that they don't have access to the right buttons, and they don't know the right people. Oregon State University scientists are looking for a link between the California drought climate change, and a mass of warm water lingering in the Pacific Ocean off the West Coast. These events may be without connection, but the drought and all the rest of it, which is troubling Oregon too, have one thing in common. They are very extreme. In recorded history, California hasn't seen a dry spell as severe as this in the past 4 years. It goes back a lot. You have to go look a long way back to find anything like this. And back then, of course, it was anomaly. Now it's the de rigueur. And thanks to the incredible influence of our allies in Congress, three nasty provisions that would have gutted the Federal Communications Commission's ability to enforce new net neutrality rules have been buried deep inside a 158-page government funding bill. This is a must-pass package that's moving quickly through the House. It means that the bill could go to the House floor any day now without anyone really knowing it. It'll be a big surprise deal. It'll be a full vote. And if this goes down, then we're going to lose net neutrality. Don't ever think that these battles are absolutely won when we get the response that we are looking for. There's no such thing as a final decision on these issues. The U.S. has a history of making inaccurate statements to international bodies in order to advance its global agenda. You only need to look at the statements made on the international stage before the invasion of Iraq to know what's going on. In recent United Nations convenings, we now see false statements put on the record by high-ranking U.S. officials concerning the U.S.'s domestic agenda, as the U.N. has no domination over the domestic issues within the U.S. You can only view these coordinated efforts by U.S. officials as a studied effort to write propaganda and change history. This involves human rights, violations that are so severe as any we have seen in foreign countries. And, of course, this is the work of sociopath. After signing fast-track legislation, which, of course, if the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes through, and if, now it will, all our labor laws will be gone. So Obama gives everybody more overtime. Well, hooray for overtime! Hooray for Obama! And now get ready to have all the remaining jobs in this country flee overseas. We'll be left with nothing. There'll be Wall Street, and then there'll be everybody else making minimum wage. And minimum wage is going to stay minimum if the Trans-Pacific Partnership is made law. That's the long and the short of that issue. But what is really concerning the world right now, not just the financial world, not just economists, not just Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz, but all of us should be very concerned about what is happening in Greece, because if it takes down the EU, the rest of the world's markets could easily go. China and, of course, Puerto Rico, we think of China as a stable economy. It's not right now. And a number of other economies are also looking a little shaky at the knees. That said, we want to speak with Robert Naiman of Just Foreign Policy. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you back on the show. Can you talk a little bit? You have a statement the website on Just Foreign Policy urging our representatives and senators to make a public statement against what the IMF is doing to Greece by signing. There's a petition you can sign it, move on. You can find it at Just Foreign Policy. I recommend going to the Just Foreign Policy website because of the content, the depth of the analysis, and what you're going to find there. So, and there is a statement, of course, which you can sign. Robert, can you talk a little bit about how what the IMF did to put Greece in this situation it finds itself in now?
Well, the IMF is part of a group of three Greek official creditors that is called the Troika, the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission. And they have been, particularly the IMF, pursuing, you know, a new Greek government was elected, the Syriza government, earlier this year, on a platform of renegotiating the extreme austerity measures that had been imposed on Greece by these three actors as a result of the previous financial crisis. These three actors have been pursuing an extreme, not just an extreme hardline austerity agenda, but a kind of dangerous brinkmanship, hardball negotiating tactics of pressuring the Greek economy, like by cutting off credit to Greek banks. We just saw this week that there was a run on Greek banks and they had to declare a bank holiday, close the banks, and restrict withdrawals. This is part of the, this is happening because it's part of the negotiating strategy of the IMF and its friends to threaten to destroy the Greek economy unless the Greek government and the Greek people agree to indefinite austerity. And this is the agenda which, as you mentioned, Nobel Prize-winning American economists Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz have denounced, not just the austerity agenda, but the way that the IMF and the European Central Bank are trying to impose it on Greece. People around the world are speaking up against this. Of course, there have been a major demonstration in Greece last night, tens of thousands of people in Athens, international letter published in The Guardian from academics, including the former Archbishop of Canterbury, denouncing this. European unions, trade unions have been speaking up. What we haven't seen so far is progressives in Congress speaking up. And this is something remarkable because the IMF is a substantially United States institution, and it's supported by U.S. taxpayers, could not exist as it exists today without the support of the U.S. government. But there is a whole of, you know, there's this institution that's pursuing the same agenda, roughly, as the TPP and the WTO, in some ways more brutal. And yet there's silence among a progressive institution, largely been silence among progressive institutions in the United States. So we're trying to turn that around. We're trying to get progressive Democrats in Congress to speak up about this. And we've talked with some offices, you know, they're clearly there's interest in doing something. And they said, well, you know, it sure would help if we would hear from some of our constituents saying that they want this. And that's why we set up the petition. That's why we're urging people today to call their members of Congress and urge them to speak out against what the IMF is doing to Greece.
I don't think people understand what the austerity measures have already done to the whole structure of society in Greece. I mean, people who had been living a normal middle-class lives are on the street. They have no medical care. There are abundant interviews and examples of what's happened.
So here's an easy macro thing to understand, I think. The economy of Greece shrank 25%. That, if you look in U.S. history, that happened to the United States once. It was called the Great Depression. So that's what Greece has experienced since the IMF intervention. The IMF imposed the historical experience of the Great Depression in the United States on Greece. That's what happened to Greece as a result of the IMF interventions, the Great Depression in the United States. So everything you know about, you know, John Steinbeck and the Grapes of Wrath, that's what happened to Greece as a result of the policies of the International Monetary Fund. And yes, their healthcare system has been decimated. Their ability to function as, you know, the government providing public services that people in any, you know, Western industrialized democracy would expect the government to do has been crippled. And this is, it's crucial to understand that this is a social experiment that's being imposed by the European Central Bank and the IMF. It's not like, you know, mere economics. This is a political agenda for restructuring that they have. And part of their agenda is that this isn't just about Greece. This is about all of the countries where they want to impose a similar agenda. You know, there's a Syriza that has a sister party in Spain. It's called Podemos. They have a similar political agenda to opposing the austerity that's been imposed on Spain with similar effects. Massive unemployment, massive youth unemployment, with European leaders telling the Spanish people, oh, you have youth unemployment? Well, your young people should emigrate. You know, go to some other country where there's jobs. This is the mentality that these people are trying to impose. And their fear is that if the if Syriza and its supporters succeed in negotiating a better deal for the Greek people, then, you know, people in Spain, people in Italy will also demand a better deal. And that's why it's like trying to crush a strike so that... You know, nobody else will try to resist them. That's exactly their mentality.
Hang on a second, Robert. We're about out of time. If you could, just before we let you go, talk about the petition and just mention Just Foreign Policy so our listeners can find out more about what actually is going on in Greece and in the European Union.
So our petition asks members of Congress to speak up. People can find it at MoveOn or on our site, justforeignpolicy.org. And we're also asking people today to call members of Congress, particularly members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and urge them to make some kind of public statement. This is, you know, this is something that we can change. If people engage.
That's all the time we have for now. I apologize for that. This has been, my guest, of course, has been Robert Nayman of Just Foreign Policy. Take a look at that petition. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Hi, I'm John Scheck, host of Religion for Life. A new universe needs a new concept of God. Nancy Ellen Abrams has an idea for it.
God can be seen as the emergent phenomenon that must have emerged through the interaction.